Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The brightest of bargains await in the unmissable Black Friday event, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. As you see, most of the newspapers today, and indeed the news programmes, are carrying the story of the delisting of the Conor McGregor whiskey that he's associated with and the Conor McGregor beer. And as I told you yesterday, Tesco, Musgraves, Barry's all said that they would be delisting. And we've just had a statement from Molloy's liquor stores. They're mainly based around Dublin. They are delisting as well. But I think, and I know it was the Rape Crisis Network who said it on Sunday, but remember, the first off-licence out of the traps wasn't Tesco, wasn't Musgraves, wasn't Super Value. The first seller of alcohol that put his head above the parapet on Monday, and I thought it was very brave, was at the start of this programme from Damien from Martin's off-licence in Fairview in Dublin. Now, they've a cachet, they are the off-licence of the year for it, but I thought it was extraordinary, and you could hear the nervousness in his voice. He was going, as he thought then, out on his own to delist. And as he said, never let any alcohol associated with Conor McGregor to darken his doorstep. So I think he was very brave in leading the charge. And then the others, maybe they were coming anyway. But as I say, on Monday, Tesco were selling Conor McGregor's whiskey for £25 on special. But anyway, they've delisted it here in the UK. But a special mention, obviously, to Damien of Martin's for starting it. He's the first one, as far as I know, first one who went public, and I thought it was very brave, a little shop on his own out there in Fairview. And of course, every issue and every time we mention this particular case, our hearts and support go out to Nikita Hand. Our hearts and support go out to Nikita Hand and their extended family. Now, yesterday at the end of the programme, I mentioned that Veritas stores, there's about 10 of them in the country. They've been around a lot. They primarily sell religious books and self-help books and mindfulness books and thought for the day books. But they also sell statues and rosary beads and different pieces of ecclesiastical objects. They sold, as we discovered yesterday, papal blessings. And I was wondering, are they still popular? Now, Cathal O'Donoghue contacted us. Cathal, you run Frames Etc. in Clondalkin in Dublin.
I do.
And paper blessings, please.
Yeah, so I just text in to say that they're not a thing of the past. I do them quite regularly for customers. So yeah. they bring them in to be framed, and they're a joy to frame because they're quite decorative and quite colourful by design, so it's really, really easy to find a good match for them.
Okay, describe them to our listeners.
So it's not my strong point, but yeah. You described them yesterday as like a page out of the Book of Kells,
yeah.
So it's very, very decorative.
Yeah,
it's ornate. Around the peripherals of it, there's kind of intricate design, like, and in the centre, then the couple's names, and there's
and the couple's name would be a nice calligraphy. There'd be lots of filigrees around the edges. They're on really decent paper.
And yeah, it's a parchment paper. Yeah, they're very decorative.
So they're still common. They're still popular. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. As wedding gifts for people that are going to be married, and also people receive them and come in afterwards. The married couple come in afterwards and get them framed. You know.
Okay. So baptisms, you can get them for baptisms, first communion, confirmation, marriage, ordination, divorce. No, sorry, not divorce. Religious profession, secular consecration, Catholic marriage, ordination. Or religious profession anniversaries, birthdays, Catholic individuals or families. Now, to get them, you have to get assigned by your parish priest to apply for one. Did you know that?
I thought that it went through the bishop's house in Dublin or something.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware
that
was.
But they'd have to find out who you are.
Right.
Now, I don't know what difference it made, but and then that goes to the Elemanciaria Apostolico Parchment Office, appropriately enough, in 120 Vatican City, Rome. Have you any idea how much they cost, Cathal?
I don't. No, I have no idea. Okay. Me.
Okay. And what have you seen them for? Are they for ordinations or weddings or?
Just, I wasn't aware of it all. The other list of events, it's only weddings I've seen here, yeah.
And what about, would nuns get them for?
Yeah, there's a lot of nuns around Clondalkin, and we have a convent here about 200 metres away from my shop, you know. So there's been a lot of nuns over the years that have bought them as presents for nieces and nephews that have been getting married, you know.
So the scroll arrives, I presume, in a little tube, but you have to get it framed yourself. That's where you come in for frames, etc. How long have you been in business?
2011 I opened up here.
In the middle of the recession, well done.
Yeah.
That was going to work. Were you hanging around before that? What were you doing before that? Before you went into framing?
I worked for Hewlett Packard from 1996. I started working in Hewlett Packard, and I was with them for 11 years. And really, really good job. Traveled to a huge amount of places with them. I was responsible, or not responsible, but part of a team that bought all the machinery kind of for Hewlett Packard. So we got to travel to lots of different countries to buy machinery. And I just kind of, I got sick of that whole world. I just wanted to do something that I had a bit of a say in myself rather than always kind of putting out fires and always following other people's rules, I suppose.
Okay. I presume you're asked to frame wedding photographs and birthday communion. What's the most unusual thing you've been asked to frame?
Yeah, so I was saying to your researcher earlier on, we've done a caul, which is a layer of skin. A caul, C-A-U-L. It's a layer of skin that's over a baby's face when they're born. Very, very rare. And I think they used to say that you'll never burn in a fire, you'll never drown if you were born with a caul. That was the old saying about it. I was saying to your researcher that in Bill Cullen's book, A Long Way from Penny Apples, he was born with a caul, and his dad went across and returned it into Conway's pub and sold the caul for a fiver to some American soldier that was in the from the Navy that was in the pub.
Because a caul, the caul was supposed to be a good look for mariners, for seafarers.
Like I said, you'd never drown or you'd never born. My own mother was
drowning,
born with
never born. Okay.
Yeah. My own mother was born with one back in the 30s, and she always had the story that you'd never drown or you'd never born in the fire.
And have you any idea of the origin of the caul that you were asked to frame?
So yeah, the customer was, it was the lady's mother had passed away, and they were going through a drawer and they just found it in the drawer. It was like a kind of a silhouette of a face on a piece of newspaper, and we were able to
it's transparent. It's a membrane.
The membrane is transparent, yeah, and kind of it's you nearly not know it was there in the center part. You can still read the text like of the newspaper in the center part, and then around the peripherals where the skin is bunched up more, you can see like there's clearly skin all the way around, you know.
And would that not deteriorate over years?
I suppose, yeah, like newspapers and stuff, we can only do as best we can here. We have glass here like that will kind of protect from UV and seal it up and stuff like that. But like, yeah, if you're going to put it on display, I suppose you always run the risk of deterioration in some way.
Okay, well, if you have a story about that, call Joe, 0818 715815. Marion Hopkins, Marion, you used to work in Veritas.
I did.
How long were you there? Which one?
From 71 to 80.
And whereabouts?
In Veritas and Abbey Street.
Oh, in Abbey Street, the flagship. Is that actually shut down now, Marion? Or is it closing in a few weeks?
There was talk that it might be, yeah. I wasn't sure. I went in there some time back in the summer just to check, and the staff didn't really know for sure if it was or when.
End of the year. Okay. Remind people what Veritas sold.
Basically, they were a religious bookshop, as you've mentioned, and they did all the ecclesiastical stuff as well.
Right.
And like vestments and all the chalices. And,
okay.
And then they did do, kind of went into the line of some stationery and that, because they were trying to kind of, I suppose, diversifying band back in the 70s, yeah. So they had to take on board and go a bit down, not quite like Easton's, but we were all kind of one family, let's say, Easton's, McGill, or Guilds and Veritas, were all in the same, yeah.
And did you sell papal blessings?
Absolutely, did we?
Wow.
Oh, my God. There was two people in that department, myself and one other girl. There was always two. And one would be dealing with the public and one would be typing the orders and receiving the postal orders in from, like, all the parishes around the country.
Okay.
And they were sometimes... it was, like, there were some people that were actually convinced that they could not be married without this papal blessing.
Or they could not have marital relations.
Or couldn't on the day. They had to have it for the day in their minds. But it wasn't true. Now, it wasn't true. But in their minds, they could not get married on the day without the blessing.
But with each one, who saw your the blessings that you saw in Veritas? Who wrote the names onto them?
Oh, that was done in Rome.
Oh, it was done in Rome. Okay, so...
Oh, yeah, we posted off the orders.
Oh, I know,
Yeah, we didn't. We only had sample parchments, actually, in Veritas.
Okay.
And they were numbered, and the customer would come in and pick the particular one. Like, they started, if I remember rightly now, in 70s, it might have been £2 on 75 was the starting point.
And you could buy different levels, so to speak.
Yeah, depending on the parchment and the lettering and whether it was gold leaf, whether it was, you know, they were very ornate.
So you took the order.
Yeah.
Now, would the person requesting the papal blessing, would they have to have a note from the parish priest?
Oh, absolutely. They had to have a letter, yeah.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
And what did that say?
Oh, God. I think it was basically permission.
Okay.
It was saying, I certify that the name, the couple and the parish they were from have permission to obtain a blessing from the Pope for their upcoming marital ceremony.
Or baptism or whatever. But you had to have... I wonder, did a parish priest ever refuse a papal blessing? Did he ever run anyone out of the presbytery with a kid, the cheeky you... Now, so you would send off, you would send off the details, the type of parchment that you want, that the customer wanted. You would send them off to Rome, is that correct?
Yeah.
Veritas would.
Yes.
And would the parchment come back into Abbey Street?
It would.
Okay.
They'd come in.
And then they'd collect them.
They wouldn't come in singly. You'd send a load of orders together and they'd come back in a batch and then you'd have to... go through them. Some people would come in and collect them when they were back. There was a time limit at one time. It was about 6 to 8 weeks. And then occasionally, if things were, there could be a postal strike or I don't know how we got through the postal strike. It was a 79.
Yeah,
that was our nightmare. Yeah. But anyway, they would come in and collect them or we'd have them posted out. And they'd be rolled up. Like in a tube, you know the way you get it
protected.
Yeah.
But Marion, when you weren't around, Pope John the 23rd in the early 60s, so you wouldn't have been around then. But when there's a new Pope, do people come in? There'd be an upsurge.
Oh, gosh, there probably was, but it probably didn't happen that much while I was there. There might have been only the one Pope,
I'm thinking that when John Paul came here in 79, was there an upsurge of people? Because you can get them for birthdays, you can get them for marriages, obviously, you can get them for baptisms, ordinations, anniversaries. I just wonder, now, you know, there's a row, as always, there's a row in Rome at the moment. Well, it's kind of been settled. The Vatican decided a while ago that they are the only ones who can sell papal blessings, these parchments, because there was a whole industry.
Really?
Yes, there was a whole industry around the Vatican in different shops where you could go in and buy a parchment. And as you say, the more ornate it was, the more filigrees, the more beautiful calligraphy, the more expensive they were. And then you would go and get it signed by, or stamped in the Vatican as a papal blessing. And the Vatican discovered that the vendors around Vatican City were charging exorbitant, up to 60, 70 quid. And the Vatican had a maximum at that time. I think it's changed. It's probably gone up. I think the Vatican had a maximum of 26 euro. So the local businesses around the Vatican City are going mad, because now the Vatican have taken all that business back onto themselves. They say to stop people selling them for 60 or 70 quid.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear that particular argument, but
business is still brisk, but it increases. Same here. It increases by up to 50% when there's a new pope.
It probably does. It probably does.
So,
and you see, the people used to come in to us and ask us to change the photograph when a pope.
Oh, hello.
Because the photograph.
That's cheating, Marion.
I know, but we used to say, look, you can't do that. He didn't bless that. The original pope on the blessing.
So they wanted two popes. They wanted two popes for the price of one.
One, yeah.
And, well, what we heard yesterday, which I was astonished by, that some couples believed that their marriage wouldn't be legit.
Oh, absolutely.
And some couples believed that even if they got married on the Saturday, they had to wait. They'd be peppering, Marion. Peppering.
Yes.
In and out of Veritas. Has my blessing come back? Because I can't house your father until the blessing comes
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
And have you ever seen...
I had to hide one day.
Why?
This person told me, oh, and she said, you're going to be on Gayborn.
Okay.
I'm ringing Gayborn. Lifeline, Marion Finucane and all.
Marion's
you did not get
Marion. And so they're saying, where is my papal blessing?
Papal blessing, oh, God.
And of course, if
at times it was scary because they would be so adamant. They weren't leaving the premises without it.
Okay.
And I used to say, look, and myself and the other girl that used to be in the department, we'd say, we physically don't have it here. It comes from Rome.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, some of them didn't
people
really
loved them.
Believe
they
that.
They still are, I presume, very highly cherished and regarded and treasured. Stay there, Marion. Anne is in Dublin. Anne, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Joe. How are you? I'm laughing at that lady. I have one of the papal blessings. I'm over 40 years married.
Okay.
But I never remember any of this all about them. I just remember being the priest asking, would you like your marriage blessed from Rome? And you're kind of looking and he said, you can get a papal blessing. And he told you what you did. So I just remember the parish, must be the parish, sent it all off, and next of all, he just waited for it. You paid for whatever you did, and then during your wedding ceremony, he just read that the marriage of so-and-so and so-and-so is blessed. He read it out, and it was just, did you like to get your wedding blessed?
Yeah, but
I thought it was lovely. My friend and myself were giving out about you.
We're
not giving out, but we love you. We said to her a bit, because she has one, and she rang me, and we're just saying, we love her. Very ornate. They're beautiful. But I never remember being asked anything. I'm not enjoying that leg, and I love Veritas. I love that
stuff. It was a lovely shop.
But ours came, they came from Rome, and you'd be delighted. And it just was on the altar. You brought it, and then the priest read it out and said, His Holiness bless this wedding.
Okay.
I thought it was lovely. You still have it.
Yeah, of course. And framed.
They are. And they are very ornate. Yeah,
but you see,
good.
Anne, I know I overstepped the mark yesterday. But I had it. But I had this image.
You're
I have this
that now, and again,
now and again. I had this. Yeah. I had this image of the yeah. You heard the caller saying he believed that he couldn't consummate. You see, I had when Marion is saying you'd have people coming in giving out, or where's me scroll? You know,
oh, I'm
and
sure
the thing.
They were.
And I'm saying,
I just remember it being organised for us, like
yeah,
and Weber
right
must be the parish is a thing in our parish. I don't know. But I was actually, I just said, yes, didn't know what to expect. But then you picked one there and abused them. Just read it out during the ceremony.
Yeah,
and said,
nice.
Your marriage was blessed from Rome by His Holiness, whoever. And that was it then. But they are very ornate. They're beautiful, Joe. They are beautiful.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you. I enjoyed it.
But Anne, they're still popular. You know that.
I said, you know what? That gave me a lift there when I heard that. I said, my God. But still, I just thought, years ago, everything was different.
Well, you see, I'm trying to think...
Half of the times it was okay, but...
Yeah, but I'm kind of thinking, there's very few... We don't send letters, we don't send cards. Everything's by email.
Which is terrible, but I always send cards. I love the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, but...
And I hate them shortcuts in Texas as well, oh my God.
Okay. But to get a nice, ornate parchment... It's very unusual.
See, that's exactly what it is, Joe. I couldn't think of the word. A lovely parchment. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. And a lovely picture, wherever you pick, or the Holy Father, whoever you want.
Yeah,
but it is
beautiful
to get it. And
did you know that sales go up by 50% when a new Pope is elected?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I haven't heard about papal blessing in years. But it was just yesterday. And it was that man. And then you were laughing. I said, heard Joe Duffy yesterday? And we said, oh, God, it's not like him. And we said, no, but we do love you. Just to let you know.
Okay, well, give me
we had a good laugh.
Just hang on a sec there. I'll get down on my hands and knees. Will you give me a little blessing before I go on?
I'll send you one,
Put your hand on me.
God bless you.
God bless you, Anne.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Just go back. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 take. Carl, just to go back to your framing shop, was there an uptick in when Pope John Paul came in 79?
No, well, I was only born in 76, so I wasn't responsible for the uptake. But there was a man from Clondalk, and he had a framing shop for years down at the top of Capel Street, down the Bolton Street and the Capel Street, Dunn's Framing, I think it was called. And he told me a story that when John Paul came, he got the contract from Arnott's to frame all the photographs that you see in everybody's house of Pope John Paul. And he was inundated. He couldn't keep up. I think he had 6 or 7 brothers, of his own brothers, working day and night trying to meet the demands for the frames at the time.
And you sell, what about, do people come in, and do people still have Sacred Heart lamps and Sacred Heart?
The old picture of the Sacred Heart that would have hung over everybody's bed, I suppose, years ago. I've framed lots of them over the years, reframed lots of them.
They
either fell and broke or whatever, but I haven't seen any new ones of late. But certainly have reframed lots of older ones.
Okay, stay with us. Fiona McCarthy. Fiona.
Hiya, how are you, Joe?
No wonder Veritas is closing. You're saying you can buy them online?
You can indeed.
But what about me parish priest?
I don't know, but I bought them directly from the Vatican. You can go online to the Vatican shop and you buy them there. I bought one last year for a niece that was getting married, and I bought one 5 years ago for my niece that was getting married. I think it was to do with the present Pope, about the money's going to charity or something like that. And the only thing, when they come, they don't come in the old tube.
Oh, did they not?
They come flat. So what I did was I just bought 2 nice tubes and put them in those. It was more for sentimental reasons, because we would have been given them, my sisters and myself, when we got married.
Okay.
And for communions. And then my dad passed away 5 years ago, and I was given... my mother's and father's from 1959, so I still have that.
So I just wonder, is there much older ones in Ireland than 1959?
Oh, I'd say they went back a long, long time before that.
But Fiona, I can go online now and put my name in and get a paper blessing, but how do they prove I'm eligible?
Well, what you do is you have to fill out a form of the people that you want and the church that they're getting married in, or if it is a church, as far as I know, and the date. And they're identical to what the ones I had from 35 years ago and to the one my father had from 1959.
Okay.
And they still come on the parchment paper.
Yeah, but
and,
the parish, if you say I'm getting married to... Paddy. So Fiona and Paddy, have to get, you have to get a note from the parish priest to say you did actually get married, do you not?
Well, I got them before the wedding and I just gave all the details.
Okay.
Like, you wouldn't be buying one for the sake of it, you
That's
know.
True, yeah.
You know,
for the laughs.
Because
you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, stay with us, Fiona. Thanks, Fiona. That's Fiona McCarthy. Margaret Barry, sorry for holding you there, Margaret.
Okay.
Did you get one?
Yes, I got one back in 1965.
Okay, and do you remember the circumstances?
Well, the circumstances was my wedding. Yes, it was the same situation as one of your callers said. You went to your parish priest and the form was filled out. I understood then it went to the diocese, down to the Archbishop's House in Drumcondra.
Yeah.
And from there it went to Rome.
Wow.
And then you got it back. But it wasn't. There was never any mention that it was obligatory.
Yeah,
it was just thought. Things were so different then, Joe. You know, I mean, you know, yeah. If you were a Catholic, there were all the various symbols and all the various, you know, feasts and all that.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody just did it. You just did it. It was just part of your culture at the time.
And Margaret, you would have to get it countersigned, so to speak, by the parish priest. Someone who knew you had to verify that you were who you said you were.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, otherwise, I mean, I don't know if you know what the situation would be. You know, that you could have been anybody. Mm. And
did you keep yours? If you don't mind, did you keep yours prominent in the family home?
No,
okay.
I didn't.
That's a
story. It stayed
in
the tube.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
Why? Why not?
I don't know.
Why not, said you?
I don't know. No, I never. Well, my family. We never had massive depictions of religion in the house. I mean, my father was an extremely good Catholic, a daily mass goer, and a very big, very important or very big man in the Vince de Paul Society. But there was no, the house was not filled in any way with, you know, religious emblems or anything like that.
Did you have a photograph of John F. Kennedy and Jackie Kennedy?
No.
Jackie Bouvier.
That was
always beside the Sacred Heart lamp and possibly
nothing like that.
And possibly
nothing
Dev
like
and
that.
Michael Collins as well.
Nope.
Okay, Margaret, thanks indeed. That's Margaret in Dublin. Al Mulvaney, Anne. Where is your papal blessing? You gone
hello?
To me? Anne, come in to me, Anne.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks, Anne. Where is your papal blessing?
Oh, well, it was hanging in the spare room, unfortunately, yeah.
Okay. And how long has it been hanging in the spare room?
We were 55 years married, a month short of 55, when my husband passed. So.
Oh, God. 55 years. And did it attain a new meaning or an extra meaning when your husband passed, Anne? Do you follow me?
Yeah. Well, it's just now when you were talking about it, I just went in and took it down off the wall, you know yourself.
Oh, did
just,
you? Boy, yeah. To have a look at it and...
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well,
have
you got it there in front of you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Well, if you can read it out to me, please.
Oh, Jesus.
No, just the gist of it. Is it in?
The Most Holy Father, Joseph Mulvaney and Anne O'Brien, humbly beg of your holiness the apostolic blessing on the occasion of their marriage in the Church of St. Bridget's, Rollestown, on the 8th of February, 1969.
Okay. And then is it signed by you? It's signed by the Pope?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 69, what would have been Pope Paul, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's terrible. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it was after John. Pope Paul the Fourth.
Can't make out the writing here, but...
Okay. You had a terrible signature. Pope Paul the Sixth.
Oh,
Pope
right.
Paul
well,
the Sixth.
That's what it is, yeah.
And he died in 1978. 78.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you remember the photograph. Is there a photograph of Pope Paul there?
Yes, there
very,
is indeed, yeah.
He was a balding man with a relatively small...
Right.
But he was all, for some reason, maybe it's just the photographs we had in those days, he was dressed in very ornate ermine and red gold robes.
Yeah,
would that be
lovely,
the photograph?
Yeah.
You see, these are the images from our childhood, aren't they?
That's true.
And now that you've taken it down, and yourself and your husband's name, and it is a record of the date as well.
It is, yeah.
So if either of you ever forgot the anniversary, you could run in a hurry into the spare room and see what date you got married on. Reminder, okay. And did your husband die recently? Do you mind me asking?
Yeah, just January, last January.
Oh, God. After 55 years. Okay, mm-hmm. And people do treasure them. Thanks, Anne Mulvaney.
No problem. God bless you and God rest
your husband. Sinead Faithful. Sinead.
Hi, Joe.
What a lovely name.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm only faithful 7 years. So.
Tell us.
So I married Mr. Faithful 7 years ago, and we decided to get married in Rome. Just the two of us. We just wanted just to get away and get married. And so we got married in an Irish church over there. And the priest that was marrying us was from West Cork. And we just said, do you think there's any chance we could go to the Vatican? And he said, yeah, you could go tomorrow. And it was great. Yeah. So he'd done up our marriage cert there and then. And he said, be down to the Vatican really early in the morning and have your wedding gear on. We said, great. Okay. So we were down there, I think maybe 8 a.m. or something crazy with his suit on and my wedding dress again. And we went in. There was loads of people there. And we sat in the section with all these newly married couples. Now, I was fascinated. All the lovely dresses from all over the world. And smiling at everyone, waving, because we were all kind of in the same kind of, you know, we're all newlyweds, it's very exciting.
Okay, yeah.
So then we were put into a different section then after the kind of the ceremony, and we were told we were going to actually meet him in person. I didn't believe it. I said, he'll probably just go along in the Pope mobile. But no, he came up to us, and he shook our hands, and he asked us where we were from. Wow. And he's really lovely. Like, do you know what? It's a bit like meeting a rock star.
Okay,
it was really cool.
This was Pope Francis, if it's 2017.
Pope Francis?
He was here, yeah. Okay, so you actually shook hands with him or whatever, he gave you a blessing or...
Yeah. And I was also expecting our first baby. And I said it to him, I said, we're expecting our first baby. And he put his hand in my bump and prayed for her.
Wow.
So it was lovely. So then a couple of weeks later, we got our papal blessing in the post, and we got a lovely picture of us meeting the big man himself, and we put it on our papal blessing, and it's in our hall. So it's a lovely thing. I mean, I just think it's, for me, I'm religious, and it's just a cool thing.
And when you said to him, Sinead, when he said to Pope Francis, now, in one sense, you're lucky because he's become, as you know, very frail. And he's in a wheelchair almost permanently now, and I don't think he would get that close or that attention that you got. Mm-hmm. When you said to him, when you blessed, is that the phrase, will you bless my bump?
No, we were skitting laughing, the two of us, because we were saying, if only he knew we only got married yesterday.
He's a very young pope, and he definitely comes from the ground, doesn't he, from in Argentina. His life story is incredible. His life story is incredible.
It was lovely meeting him, and I just thought, why not? Why not say I'm expecting a baby? So what? It's not a big deal.
Brilliant.
Fair play. It was lovely.
Tell me about the baby, the papal baby.
Yeah, so she arrived then a couple of months later, and my grandfather, who was alive at the time, was suggesting that we should call her Francis because that could be a girl's name or a boy's name. Yeah, well, we didn't go with Francis Faithful. We didn't. We picked something else instead.
Okay.
And then another baby followed 2 years later. So.
Okay, well done. So that's very memorable.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was really like meeting her. I mean, I would be religious. Yeah. My husband isn't. And he actually was a bit emotional. Now, I could say I was emotional because I had hormones, but he actually kind of said, it's actually kind of cool meeting him. He wasn't so bad. What did you think he was going to be like?
Well, anyone that's photographed and in our lives so much, when you do see them in the flesh.
This is it. Yeah, so it was really just a memorable thing to do, and, you know, meet him the following morning after our wedding day. It was lovely.
And Francis has been Pope now for a fair while, and as I say, please God, he'll go on. And Sinead, are you any relation to Marianne Faithful?
I can ask this quite a lot, but apparently so. My father-in-law is related to her.
Oh, very good. And are there many Faithfuls down in West Cork?
No, there's just me, my husband, his parents, and the two children we produced. So that's it, just 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Sinead Faithful from Abandon. In County Cork. Well done, you and your family, Sinead. Thanks indeed. Where's Anne? Thank you, Sinead. Anne, good afternoon.
Hi, Hi, Joe. How are you?
Oh, Pope John Paul the First.
Yes.
Ah, how did you manage that? How long was he? God rest him.
He was only 33 days a pope. Pope Paul had died in September. And I was just saying to Robbie here, it was around the same time as Elvis had died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Elvis dead?
Yeah, I think they buried him.
Okay, Pope John, the smiling pope, they called him.
Yes. So I was just wondering, would there be many of those papal blessings out there?
For someone that was just pope?
For 33 days. Papal blessings did not come in time because it had been ordered when Pope Paul was still alive.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So yours might be... You're not trying to tell me yours is worth a few bob, Anne.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was in Rome and at the installation of Pope John Paul I in August 1978. Would you believe that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went down. We were staying. I was on a trip with the Catholic Youth Council where I was learning French, I think. And just as the course finished, it was an 8-week course in the south of France, we got word that, and I'd never been in Rome, so a gang of us got buses and trains and went down, and it was an incredible occasion. Can you imagine? In the middle of summer, Rome, a new pope, and then little did I know that 33 days later...
He
was gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you know, do you follow him? Do you read the... all the conspiracy theories and movies that are coming out. Well, I know there's Conclave, the movie coming out based on the Robert Harris book. But there's still a lot of... And I think, was he not found by the nuns and was one of them not... Anyway, but he was known as a smiling pope. But you reckon you're one of the few people that has a papal blessing from Pope John Paul I.
Well, I wouldn't say it'd be, one of it, but there can't be that many. You'll know the church. We were married in the Assumption.
Oh, and Ballyfermot, yeah, the big church.
Yeah, yes.
The massive, massive church. Yeah.
The massive,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, have you still got it? I hope you still have it.
I do, of course. When I heard you yesterday, I was actually, it's up on, it's framed, it's up on a wall upstairs.
Okay.
So.
Well, now that you said it's quite rare, will you get it insured?
No. I won't go that far now.
It's in God's hands, isn't it, Anne?
Yes,
it's in God's hands.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
So.
Thanks, Anne.
Okay.
Thanks, Anne. Hold on to that. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Pope John Paul I, that Anne was going on, it's fascinating. He reigned for 33 days. So that was the year, 78, was the year of three popes. And the previous year of three popes, you had to go back to 1605, believe it or not. And the other distinction, apart from the short reign, the other distinction that Albino Luciani, which is Pope John Paul I, had, is that he's the most recent Italian-born pope. Do you follow me? Then there was Pope John Paul II. Then there was Benedict and Francis. John Paul from Poland, second. John Paul from Poland, Benedict from Germany, and Francis from Argentina. There you go now. It must be Ireland's turn soon. Where's Margaret Considine? They go back to the call, that call framed. You have one, have you?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to look for it, but I can't put my hands on it. It belongs to my father.
Have you any idea what it looks like?
It's like parchment.
It's
obviously folded, and it just looks like parchment. It's in an envelope, and my grandmother had written on it the day he was born, which was the 16th of April, 1923.
Oh, she wrote on the call?
On an envelope that she put the call into.
Okay.
And she said that if sailors would pay money for a piece of the call so that they wouldn't die by drowning, that was the pishogue that went with it.
Yeah, there was a few pishogues apparently that went with it. Mm. But you still have it somewhere. You can't put your hand on it at the moment.
I will send down a picture of it. But it's in a little envelope, folded into like a into squares inside an envelope.
Okay, and your, excuse me, cough here. Your father, he was born in 1923.
Yes, okay. And it was supposed to be very lucky to be born in a cause.
Okay, okay.
Now, unfortunately, he passed away maybe 22 years ago.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay, Margaret, keep looking. Make sure you don't lose that now. Make sure, I know you will find it.
Oh, I won't. No, it is somewhere safe. It's in a box, I know.
Well, if you can't find it, Margaret, give me a call. Thanks, Margaret, in Kilrush. Where's Lily?
Oh, I'm here, Joe.
Ah, Lily. Yes, but I don't know whether I should go on with the call. The wedding present you got, did you know how relatively cheap it was?
I know, that's why this old aunt I had.
Okay.
A bit tight with a few bob.
And what did you do?
And she gave me a present of a papal blessing.
That was the wedding present, full stop.
Or if that was it, yeah.
20,
she was a bit tight.
20 euro.
I don't think it was 20 euro. It was probably €3 in those days.
And what did... Well, at least you still have it hanging over your mantelpiece.
No, it happened. I don't know. I haven't seen it since that day. It disappeared.
She didn't take it back and give it to someone else. Put someone else's name on it the following wedding.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't know. No, our names were on it.
And Lily, how long ago was that?
Oh, actually, do you know, now that I think of it, Joe... It's in my wedding album. I must have a look. Our two hands on the papal blessing is in the wedding album. That's only after it occurred to me this minute.
Okay. But how long ago were you married, Lily?
1968.
Okay, so 58.
But this aunt was so mean. She was so tight. So
was she?
That was what she gave me. I was disgusted. But anyway, I haven't seen the actual... Okay. I do have a picture.
And Lily, is the aunt still with us?
Oh, not at all, not at all. She's well gone. She'll be over 100, I'd say.
Okay.
But that was the meanest present I ever...
Will you say a prayer for her, will you?
Oh, God.
I'm sure she's enjoying the riches of heaven, hopefully. Yeah.
She was a great woman. She's a pioneer, but on the day I got married, I think she threw it all aside.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
She was head of the Pioneer Association.
Oh, was she? Oh, well done. Brilliant.
She was absolutely pleased at the wedding.
Okay.
I don't know which that was my papal blessing.
She was head of the Pioneers Association 68 years ago in Europe. Did she get fluted at your wedding? It's another wedding. Yes. Okay, don't give it away.
And she was a pioneer. Well, my mother couldn't believe it. My mother couldn't believe it.
She hit the sherry or something? Did she hit the sherry?
I don't know what she... I think it was the Volga, as she used to call it.
The what? The vodka?
The Volga. The Volga.
Okay, Lily. Sounds like...
I got everything wrong.
Sounds like a character. Thanks, Lily. Where's Evelyn? Evelyn Keating. Evelyn.
Hello, Joe.
Tell us, what have you, a papal blessing or a call or what?
We've a papal blessing or two. We have, I think, two grandparents. We also have my parents and my husband's parents. And then we also have one that my granny had done for us when we got married. And I kind of feel like we don't want them. They're all nicely framed up in these big frames, and they take up a lot of space. I don't want to recycle them because out of respect for the people that cherish them and whatever. And I'm just wondering if anybody is interested. Is it something that people are kind of interested in? Would anyone? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do people collect that sort of thing? I know people do collect religious memorabilia.
You don't have the space to hang them. Is that what you think?
Well, you know, we've never hung any of them.
Okay.
Even by the time we got my parents' ones, they'd kind of stopped hanging them, you know.
And you're saying, is there anyone that would like them? But
is anyone interested in?
But is it not very unique to you and the date of your parents and indeed your grandparents' wedding?
Not really. No. But not enough to be sentimental about it.
Okay.
Like, we've got to the stage where we're downsizing, and we're clearing out the clutter. And
I think
sentiment like that just is what got us cluttered in the first place.
Okay,
so
I know what you mean. But I'm thinking, are they in frames at the moment?
They're in frames, some of the frames are old.
What about this idea? Take them out of the frame, so they're just parchment, and buy a scrapbook. You know, A4 size book in Easton's or wherever you buy your stationery, buy a hardback scrapbook and put other things that maybe are in frames that you want to declutter from, put them in the book. And the book will...
I'm kind of over that stage a bit because we've got photographs and stuff and we're already doing that kind of thing with other stuff. You know, there's some things you just kind of say, no, do you know what?
Okay.
I'm not sentimental enough about that. I'm not.
Okay. So, Evelyn, are you willing to give away your two paper blessings to a good
home? Certainly am. If they're be of use to someone, I don't want to just scrap them because out of respect for the people that...
I just wonder, you know the way the Mars...
They're 100 years old,
give them to a religious organisation. Don't give them to an individual. I'm thinking of the Maris, you know, the moving crib in Parnell Square there up to the rotunda, which is open again for Christmas and New Year. It's been there from 1926. Have you heard about the moving crib, Evelyn?
I've heard about the moving crib.
Well, it's still going. Moving.
We had the Maris brothers here in Sligo. Happy with their appearance either.
Maybe send it to the moving, because they have memorabilia there.
Yeah,
and they do.
I don't know. I have, the one in particular that you mentioned, that organisation didn't behave itself very well in Sligo. I just kind of feel, if someone from one of those organisations wanted to take them, I haven't got time to go around. I'm just putting the call out.
Okay.
If anyone is interested.
Well, if we get it, the first address we get in, and we can't verify any, but the first address we get in, we'll give it to you and you just send it on.
That's fine.
Okay.
Lovely.
That's a look.
Thanks
okay.
very much.
See you, Evelyn. Okay. Thanks, Niamh. That's Evelyn
right.
Keating.
Joe.
Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. You see, Evelyn, in fairness, did touch on, rightly so, you know, this is not without contention, anything we talk about in the church, and especially in recent decades in Ireland. Pat Mulcahy is in Cork. Pat, tell us what happened.
Good afternoon. No, from the Catholic Church, all I got was a threatened red card, a ban of extreme education. The story is that I met my wife, Gillian, Church of Ireland, and I always believed we decided to get married, and I felt that, the bride should always get married in her church.
Yeah.
And we went through the motions to try to get it sorted out, but before that, there was all this, so the Netemra degree had to be sorted out. And I wouldn't let my wife sign.
What religion the children would be reared in? And the Catholic Church.
Roman Catholic.
Exactly. Always insisted with the Netemra degree that they'd be reared as Catholics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had no problem in signing it. I would have done my best, but I would not allow my wife to sign it because I didn't think it was right. So anyway, I was getting nowhere. I went to the Bishop of Cork, got no problem. So anyway, we decided to go ahead and get married without any blessing or anything like that. Wedding invitations went out, and about 3-4 weeks before the wedding, I got a knock on my door. My local curate came over, and he said to me that if you go ahead with this wedding, you will be excommunicated from the Catholic Church. So that really put us through a grenade into everything. We had to cancel the whole, all the arrangements and everything like that. Yeah, it was so close. And the funny thing about it is that the man who said, the priest, I knew him. He was a kind of a good friend of mine. We used to go to the cinema together, have a few pints together, etc., etc. But when it came to it, I don't know, he was going through the rules and regulations. But it really, it was shocked. It was an awful experience, Joe, to be honest with you, you know. But it is one regret in my life that I should have ignored it and gone ahead. But I had to think of those other people involved as well. I had to think of my own family as well. But anyway, what has done is done, has been written is done.
But this is Ireland in 1975, Pat.
It was 1975, yes.
And did you? What happened? You postponed the wedding because you didn't have
the wedding
paper
was cancelled. No, it wasn't, postponed at all. It was cancelled. Yeah, yeah. All the arrangements cancelled, etc. We had to get married here in St. Michael's Church of Ireland here in Blackrock. And that was the end of it. But I had a cousin in Dublin who was very friendly with a Dominican in Dublin, and she put me in touch with a Dominican, and he put me in touch with another, the prior out in Tall at the time, a lovely man, a young man, and he sorted me out eventually, or sorted us out eventually, with Archbishop Ryan in Dublin. So about 9 months down the road, we packed our bags, went to Dublin, and got married out in the Church of Ireland in Rathmines, you know, which was it was a rotten experience.
And did you remain friendly with that curate afterwards?
No, I did not. That was the last. I did not. That was the end of it. Wow. And it's funny. We came back from we went to Benidorm on a honeymoon, and we came back on a Sunday, and I was going to work on the Monday, Monday morning, and who was coming up towards me? But this priest, and he said, "Pat, God, you're looking lovely and tanned, etc., etc." He said, "Where were you?" And I said, "I was on my honeymoon." Well, I thought the ground would open up and swallow him down. He got an awful land altogether. And he said, "How did you do it?" And I said, "A good friend, the Dominican." Oh, I said, "Of course, you know the Dominicans are mad. We called them the Mad Dominicans." But no, I haven't spoken to him since, and I have no intention either. I thought it was. The whole thing, Joe, it was shocking, you know. We did our best to try to keep within the rules and regulations, and I felt that because she was, I didn't think Gillian, that's my wife's name, that she, you know, it wasn't right for her to be signing over something that she didn't believe in herself. But we would have worked together on this, and we did work it out together. We did. Thank God I've got three kids, and they're lovely, and they're all good Christians as well.
Yeah.
And they, would you believe it? We kind of got them baptized in both the Catholic Church and the Church of Ireland. And so they made themselves up and let us know. But that was,
well, Pat, when he knocked on your door,
yeah,
and you opened the door,
yeah,
what did he say to you?
I said, I won't mention his name. He said, "No, would you come over to my presbytery as soon as you can? I want to have a chat with you," you know.
So you went over.
And I went over, and he sat down and he said to me, he told me there were the rules, you're gone if you go ahead with this marriage. But you know the sad thing about it?
He'd be excommunicated.
And the sad thing about it is that, Joe, when the invitations went out, the relations on my side, and especially on my father's side, two of them actually approached the local parish priest in Cork about this, and that's where the information came from. They actually, they were really, I suppose, they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, even they were making the comment that if they get married to Gillian, that, you know, Pat would convert her. That was that type of thinking, the generation that was out there. But anyway, what happened, Joe, is that they actually went to the priest when they got the invitation, and that's where the whole thing blew up. You know, because I said nothing at all to this man. I had the feeling I was only, you know, nothing would happen, that I'd get nowhere.
And do you think, Pat, a difficult question, do you think the people who brought the wedding invitation to the priest...
I'm certain of that.
Were they doing it out of the good of their heart?
Well, I would assume they were at the time, because that was a generation that was only one true religion, that was the Catholic religion, and there were no other religions at all, and that's what they were thinking. You know?
Yeah. Okay, Pat. God bless you and your children.
You'll be gone, and the fires of fear will come up and consume around you. So, Joe, there you are. That's my story.
Okay.
I enjoy your program. Thank you very much.
Callers and hear your story, Pat. Thanks indeed. Is Liz there? Liz, good afternoon. Sorry for holding you.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Tell us what happened.
The thing that happened was I was working in the civil service in 65.
Okay.
And we were getting married, so I went across the road from Orrisbrough at the tax office over to Gill's. And I ordered my papal blessing and got the papal blessing and got married on the 23rd of June.
Mm-hmm.
But I put a photograph of the papal blessing with my husband and my hand on the papal blessing into our wedding album.
Okay.
And I'm just looking at it here. I'm painting a picture as well at the minute. I'm after letting a big blob of orange paint fall on it. However, my children always thought when they looked at our wedding album that the Pope was at our wedding.
Ah, of course.
Because the Pope's picture is in our wedding album. They always thought the Pope came to our wedding. Which he didn't. But
don't disabuse them of that great story. The Pope was at your wedding.
I've told them that well, he was, but not literally at our wedding. But Joe, can I come back now to the story of the call?
Yes, of course, yeah.
My mother, Lord have mercy on her, she had a call in an envelope in the trunk as she had of my brother, who died when he was 2 or 3 years of age.
Okay.
And she had this call that came from him when he was born.
Right.
And she kept it for years and years in the trunk at home. And eventually, before she died, she decided to take it over to the graveyard and bury it where he was buried.
Okay.
So I have two stories today now.
That's very moving, isn't it?
Well,
he died young.
She
still had a call. That was her.
That's right. She had it in the trunk in the bedroom for years and years and years. And before she died, she decided, for whatever reason, she was very religious.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, she decided to take it over and make space in the grave where he was buried as a baby, and put the call in with it. So anyway.
And can I ask you, on the day you got married, when you had the paper blessing?
Yes.
Did it add to the wedding? Do you follow me?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Oh, God, it did. And it still does. We will be 60 years married next June, please God.
Please God.
If we're still alive.
You will be.
And, my husband is not too well at the minute.
Oh.
But anyway... I don't know. There's comfort in religion.
Of course, there is for so many people.
There is definitely.
And different religions, yes, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be Catholic religion.
Yeah,
it can
absolutely.
Be anything.
It's a rich tapestry.
Believe in some.
People get meaning.
We believe in something.
Yeah, people get meaning.
Ourselves.
Yeah. And spiritual
so
help.
No.
Okay, Liz. Thanks indeed, and looking forward to your 60th wedding anniversary next year. Please God, Liz.
You out.
Please
God,
and I'll send you a blessing.
We get you
a paper blessing. Okay, Liz Hennessy in Tipperary. Go to Margaret. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe, at RT Daddy, Helena Tierney. Helena, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You have a paper blessing, of course.
I do. I have it right in front of me. And the minute I heard it yesterday on your radio show, because I listen to it every day.
Yeah.
I listen to Clare Byrne. I listen to all
of
them.
Great.
You know? And enjoyed them so much.
Thank you.
But we got married in Rome.
Ah, lovely.
In 1984.
Okay.
And we stayed in the Irish College in Rome. And they were wonderful to us now. They were absolutely lovely.
The Irish College,
you know,
is a seminary, isn't it, primarily?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And we,
so you spent your honeymoon in a seminary?
Well, part of it, yes. But anyway,
yes.
The funny bit is they allotted us a bedroom, you know,
okay,
for our wedding night.
Ah, lovely.
The Monsignor.
Okay.
And it had two single beds in it.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And one was higher than the other.
Ah.
And it had those big wooden crosses over the bed, you know.
Yes. How romantic.
We thought, it's something that doesn't leave you. It was so funny. And I just...
Did the Monsignor not get the memo about when a couple get married?
I don't think they got the concept at all.
One of the things about getting married is on the day both of you are now on the same level, so to speak.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't
so
you?
So the marital bed should at least be on the same level.
On the same level.
And was the gap, so to speak, the height gap between
the low bed? Oh, no, there was
the
one on each side of the door.
So what
we did was we pushed the two together.
Okay.
Right. We'll leave the rest in the air, but yeah.
So you pushed the two together.
Yeah, and one was up and the other was down. We had a very cheap bottle of house wine that we were after getting in the restaurant.
I hope it wasn't Eucharistic. Lacrima Christi. Was it the wine used in the Mass?
Pardon?
Was it the wine used in the Mass?
No. This was one now we were after bringing up from the restaurant where we were after having the meal.
Okay. And you opened the door of your honeymoon suite.
Yes.
Okay, and you saw the two beds.
Saw our situation.
Yes.
Pushed the two beds together. We could use them as an armchair. Right, you had the back and you had the seat.
Okay.
If you get my meaning.
Yeah, I'm drawing a diagram here, Arlena.
You're drawing a diagram.
Yes.
And opened our house bottle of wine.
Well done. And a good...
And celebrate it.
Well done. Wasn't that magnificent? Anyway, you celebrated and that was the main thing, isn't it?
No, it brings back good memories, you know?
That's good. And did
it really does.
And the following morning, did you mention anything to the Monsignor?
Yes.
You did?
To the Monsignor. We were too embarrassed, you know? And I did say it to one of the girls that were staying there, that they worked there for the summer, you know?
Yeah.
And they come from everywhere to spend time in Rome, learning the language.
They still do.
Yes,
okay,
which is brilliant.
Okay, it's a great story, Helena. Well done. There's loads of opportunity for gags, but I won't take them.
No, don't. No, I'd be too embarrassed.
Brilliant.
It was lovely. And it brings back really good memories.
That's lovely. And rightly so.
Would recommend it to anyone that ever wanted to have a quiet wedding.
Go to the Irish
For any reason.
A lot of people still get married in Rome, yeah. Okay, Helena Tierney, good to meet them all. Good. Peter O'Reilly, sorry, I'm galloping now, looking at the clock. Peter O'Reilly, you've been going to Veritas?
For 40 years.
So this is where we started. So you think the shops are a great loss?
Ah, they are. Well, they've one after another have closed recently. The last one closed was Blanchardstown, gone.
Ah.
So now the last holdout is in Middle Abbey Street.
And that's apparently very soon, yeah.
For Christmas. And on a human level, some of the staff I knew when they started off there, you know, you'd be going in, the street people have been there. It's a real Dublin institution. A lot of the old people I used to know in Artane, they used to go out there for all the, you know, when there'd be communions, confirmations.
Yeah, yeah.
Then on a practical level, it's told a lot of very good catechetical stuff. For people to learn about religion, about faith, about all religions.
Yeah.
It had all that. But the thing is, there's nothing else. When that's gone, that's gone. There are a few other small ones maybe around the country to do with something else, but nothing of the same nature. And no presence in the city centre. And of course, the buying population has declined for religious items. But there was still a substantial one, and surely one shop could have been saved. And these people loyal to the shop could have been, the staff and the customers could have been catered for. And some are rented in the city centre, because I know that building is not sold, it's too big, it's four stories high.
Yeah,
and as I said, it leaves a gap there where you wouldn't find the equivalent, you wouldn't get...
Well, Veritas was owned by the Irish Bishops' Conference, by the bishops.
Exactly.
And they say it hasn't been making money. I want to go to Michael Brennan before we finish. Michael in Blackrock in Dublin. You worked in Veritas.
I did, yeah. I left college in 82, and I worked in Veritas till 91 and have kept up the contact with the company all the time ever since as a... As a supplier, I went to work for a company called Columba Press, which I'm sure you probably came across. And I was working there as sales director for the last number of years. And then I set up a company of my own, but I have kept the contact with Veritas all the time and was only in touch with them on Monday.
Okay. So will they have an online offering on Monday?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. And I know that they have a big sale on now at the moment, obviously, because they need to clear stock. Not just in the in their branch network. Now, you mentioned earlier on that they had 10 branches. At one time they would have, but they would have been winding down the shops now gradually ever since. So they still have, I think they've got Abbey Street, obviously, which is a very, very, very fine store. And they have two shops up in the north of the country. They have one in Derry and one in Letterkenny. And the Letterkenny shop now at Sheila McMack and the manager there very well.
But I saw that just very spotted this force. I saw Letterkenny and Derry were shutting down.
Great. Yeah. And there's a huge local drive to try and keep the shop open in some form under different ownership.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hope. Anyway, lots of regard for the shop, and especially
I wanted to use the opportunity, if I may, to just express my sorrow and my friendship and solidarity with all of the people in Veritas that I've known over the years and that I continue to know. And in fact, that's not really why. That wasn't my original original reason for my call. It was really to give out to that lady who beat me to the punch, because my sister and her husband's papal blessing is John Paul I as well. Going back to 1978, they are rare. But just to let you know that really, the blessings involved there involves the Pope going into a large room full of papal blessings, and then giving a blessing. Now they could be in any, they could be in multiple languages, and then they get distributed around the world.
So the Pope goes into a room, all the parchments are laid out, and there are thousands.
That's sort of generally the thing the Pope gives a sort of a broader blessing, not individual papal blessings, but to, and then they get distributed around the place. In my time in Veritas, it was just unbelievable the amount of demand that there was. And there was a catalogue that people looked through, and they had a choice then as to which papal blessing they wanted. There were ones then, there was really expensive ones that were on a kind of a greaseproof papery kind of thing. But they were all absolutely, as you mentioned earlier, ornate and very beautiful, and all deserved to be framed.
But it is interesting that the Pope actually does, every now and again, there's a session where he goes into a room and stands. I presume there is a ritual that the Pope would go in and there'd be accompanying Monsignors, and there is a ceremony for maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
And he blesses countless thousands. Thing. Yes. As the local priests would say, it has been blessed, and that sort of gives the papal blessings that extra little significance, you know.
Okay. God bless you, Michael. That's Michael Brennan in Blackrock. Sound, James Feeney, researcher, Richard Byrne, producer, Tara Lockery-Grant. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.